Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Well, 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 we have LaWanna Bradford here on the edge with us, another amazing, brilliant, bright woman in business. We're going to talk about mortgage banking. We're going to talk about offsetting liabilities. We'll talk about our responsibilities to our family, creating a legacy, long-term investing a little bit, and also some fun stuff because she's a fun kind of girl. I love it. You're here on the edge, brains, the place where, what do I tell you all the time? The conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull, okay? This is a learning space. This is a loving space. This is a place for you to level up. And that's what we're about to do with our guest today, LaWanna Bradford. How are you, beautiful?
I'm doing well, April. Thank you so much for having me. And hello, brains.
Yes, we are excited to learn more about finance and offsetting liability, what that looks like in today's environment. It's so different. You know, we're now going into 2022. Would you ever think that you would be talking about 2022?
No, it's like, I don't know where the time is going. It seems to be accelerating.
It is accelerating at a rapid pace. Tell us a little bit about your story, your history with the Bradford Group and what that looks like.
Thank you. So the Bradford Group, we are commercial investment mortgage brokers. And how I came into the space is I left corporate and my brother actually had founded the company. And I thought, well, this is a great time to give him some support because I come from a strategic planning and performance management background. But the more I got involved, the more interested I was in really exploring deeper what it meant to be in the mortgage space and how it impacted the flow of our economy. And so I bought into the company. And during the 2008 mortgage crisis, my brother decided to leave the company to do what he felt was in the best interest for his family. And I stayed holding the helm and have evolved it into where we were formerly focused on the residential side. And because that was so heavily hit and we wanted to survive and not be like so many of our other peers that went by the wayside, we switched to the commercial side of the house, which wasn't as hard hit, which, as you know, April, now is sort of like the reverse with the pandemic.
I know.
The commercial has been really hit hard. So I call myself like a connector. I connect businesses and finances and business owners and finances together.
Well, finding the money is interesting because it seems like people are finding money. I think what they're doing is they're really collaborating. They're pulling resources together. They're taking a much closer diagnostic look at long-term strategies, investing, alternative currencies. You know, this Bitcoin is just really, you know, you don't know whether to trust it or not trust it. But just really the strategy of money. And money is a beast within its own. Let's take away and extract the emotion from it, because it is emotional. I mean, you know, people talk to you about having a brain tumor before they talk to you about how much is in their bank account.
That's true.
So as your experience in this space, what do you find that people's biggest challenge is when it comes to their finance? Is it overspending? Is it not investing properly? Is it the lack of education when it comes around money and finance? Where do you find the gaps?
I think it's all the above. And it depends on, again, what groups you're looking at. When you compare women to men, we have a greater financial illiteracy. compared to men. And when you look at, when you further segment that into your minority groups, the gap even widens. I think part of it, you mentioned that people would rather talk about a brain tumor than they would their finances. And that's particularly the fact with women. And it's really concerning. And I think it's because women have a phobia of being seen as maybe not knowing as much as they feel they should, or perhaps they have this persona and they don't want people to know that they are really struggling. But so many women and families are one paycheck away from being homeless.
In fact, I know. How many times have we heard that growing up? You know?
Yeah. And it's so true. And this is, to me, what's even the more staggering statistic for women, April, is that when women in this country, that's not, I'm not bringing in the world because that's a whole nother conversation, but mm-hmm. just in the United States, by the time they're age 65, and should they retire, the average annual retirement income is less than $20,000 a year.
Ooh, wee.
So it tells you that there's a lot of imposter syndrome running around.
Right.
And we are really struggling, but until we're willing to have the conversation, change our mindset, and learn the tools and tactics to manage money, we'll continue to spin our wheel, and that cycle will forever continue.
It will, and it's a downward spiral.
Yes.
You know, there's no generational wealth. And I look at our culture. You know, I get on people all the time. Do you have your paperwork in order? Your living will, your trust, your medical directive, insurance policies. Do you have all of this information where someone can access it easily? All of your beneficiaries, you know, some people have passed away. Some people done pissed you off. You gotta have all of that stuff intact. And as a culture, you know, I speak to us because they've worked their entire life for this piece of property. And now it goes into probate and the attorney gets a third off the top. And then the rest of the family is scratching and scraping at the rest. Having that is key. All right. So what are some of the other things that you think that people should need to be aware of when it comes to, you know, just overall having your ducks in a row?
I think understanding truly, it starts with foundationally understanding what your relationship is with money. You know, we all grew up hearing certain things about money. And whatever that was, it is shaping how individuals respond to money, spend money, save money, repel money, and or attract money. And until you understand where that is and get that fixed, I can give you $1 million. And if you don't have the mindset of understanding how to manage it or invest it and allow it to make money for itself, then it's going to be very fleeting. I mean, think about how many people win the lottery and 3 to 5 years later, they're broke.
Broke or in IRS hell because
they don't
understand money is an energy, but yes. You can also teach money how to work for you. Let's jump into the mortgage brokerage. Again, we were talking in the green room. I don't know who can afford to purchase properties right now. I'm talking about California. It's crazy. And you go to Northern California, they're paying $3,000, $3,500 a month for rent. And you're living in a tuna can.
Yes.
It's just really different. So people are pooling their resources together. They're getting bigger pieces of property. But, you know, what does it look like in mortgage banking right now? Are they loaning people money? Are they, you know, what is the qualifications for that now? It's crazy.
Yeah, they are, believe it or not. The mortgage industry is extremely busy. It's the seller's market, though. There's an inventory shortage around the world and because of around the U.S. And because of that, that's how prices are increasing. Mm. So demand is high, inventory is low, and people are, April and Brains, believe it or not, paying 10, sometimes 15% higher than the appraised value on the property.
Wow.
I mean, it's crazy what's going on right now. And the question is, when will the market adjust itself? It's not a matter of if, it will ultimately adjust itself. but people are taking advantage of this opportunity, which is great for them. But then you think about that person who may, household who may earn $30,000, $40,000 a year, and they're trying to get their piece of the American dream. And they, like you said, they can't find anything affordable, or the rents are astronomical, or they have to go far out into, you know, rural America, right, or suburbia to find something affordable. Then they're dealing with the taxation of commuting back and forth.
I know that's like an area here. It was pretty much unincorporated. Me and Mr. Magnificent said, oh, let's go out there and look. When I got out there, I didn't see very many hospitals. I only saw that there was one road that really kind of took you in and out. The homes were beautiful, but you were a slave to it because the commute was an hour, hour and 15 minutes in traffic. You don't get to enjoy your home. You don't get to enjoy your property. And you got to work overtime to be able to make the mortgage. Dual incomes are an absolute must unless you have a, what I call a side hustle, or another way of generating revenue. Let's talk about that, because insurances are another way that people are saying that they're able to cash in, and they're really able to invest in this particular body of investment, and, you know, make a killing these days, or be able to pull down from that before retirement age and really be able to subsidize their income. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think with everyone, you have to have a plan. And often individuals are using what I like to call hope methodology. Mm. I hope things will work out. I hope when I reach retirement, the money's going to be there. I hope my Prince Charming will come and sweep me away. Okay, well, that's great, but that's not a method. So we have to look at where we are now. What are the deficiencies? Where we want to be? And also look at, like with me, longevity is in my family. So not only am I looking at what I will have at retirement, but how long will that money last me through my lifetime? My father's 91 and he's been retired for 30 years.
Right.
So if I'm blessed to live like him, I need to have 30 years worth of income banked so that my cost of my lifestyle doesn't decrease, even though there may be a corresponding increase in cost of living, increase in medical care, et cetera. So it's real important, I think, to have a plan. And if you don't know even how to begin, to surround yourself with the financial experts to say, okay, this is where I am and this is where I want to go. Where can I start? Because it's never too late. Some people think, oh, I haven't done anything. I'm in my 50s. It's too late. No, it's not. You start where you're at and begin to build slowly to where you want to go. And like you said, have those side, you may have to have a side hustle, but having those multiple income streams, not putting all your eggs in one basket, is so important.
And looking at your statements and understanding how to read them. You know, people will have a 401k, get the notice in the mail or online and don't know how to read it, don't know how to shift their money from one investment to another. Investing is fun, but it can be tricky. That's why they need trained individuals such as yourself to really help facilitate and guide them through this, you know, river of nonsense, because all of the adjectives and the words, and they're changing, and the Dow Industrial, and, you know, people don't understand that and they get scared by it. They really do.
Exactly. And if I can share something really simple, and this happened to me during a pandemic. So my car was totaled in 2019, October of 2019, bought a new car in November. I have, because of the pandemic, I haven't really driven it much. In fact, I have less than 5,000 miles on this brand new car. And I was talking to my insurance provider. I said, wow, you know, I'm hardly driving it. And she said, well, you know, you can adjust your policy. Mm-hmm. I had never done that before. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, now it becomes a recreational vehicle. So we changed my policy to show, you know, reduced mileage. I saved myself hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. And then when I decide that I'm going to increase the mileage, I'll go back and make that corresponding adjustment to my policy. And that's just a very small example that if we pay attention to those contracts that we're in, to that coverage that we have, and have the conversation, we'll be amazed at where we can save money. And another place where people can save money, and I do this every single year, and it's a small simple exercise, but it works every single time. I use April because that's tax time as my milestone. And what I do is I pull all of my monthly reoccurring expenses. And I call the service provider and I find out, because I've been a longstanding client, what's the best you can do for me? I want you to give me a lower rate, a better term, whatever it is, so that I stay with you. And invariably, every last one of them lowers the price point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they don't want to lose you. I do that with my credit cards. I've even done that with my Sirius radio. You know, you have to take a look at that stuff.
Yes.
And if you are in a financial crisis, also, you want to look at that and you want to be ahead of the game. You want to tell your creditor, look, my money is funny. Is there any way that, you know, we can put a freeze on this? We can lower the interest rate. What is it that you can do? Because I want to hedge off any disaster. Credit is so important. Credit is the conversation. Yeah. Here in California, it can hinder you from getting a job because they run your credit report, which I think is so unfair. I really do. You know, you've been struggling, the pandemic, you had to, you know, move, you got evicted, whatever the situation was. And now you run my credit and there's this black mark against it saying that I'm unworthy and I'm untrustworthy. It's real tough. They run your credit again when you go to get a promotion. Say you're in the banking industry, say something happened, you know, your credit is funky and you can't go to bank manager because now there's possibly an integral issue that comes up. People are really worried about their credit when it comes to making big purchases. And you see this in the mortgage banking. What are some of the things that you suggest to your clients that could be in that situation?
I would say, number one, understand what consists of credit. Understand what story your credit is telling a particular lender or an investor. And spend within your means. Keep in mind, when you have credit, that is someone else's money. You can get that in your head.
Could you say that again? That is somebody else's money.
It's someone else's money. And when you can get that in your head, it literally does change how you think about spending it. Because think about it. If I give you a credit card, April and Brains, if I give you a credit card that has a $1,000 limit and I give you $1,000 cash, I guarantee you, you're going to hold on to the cash. Why? Because it's tangible. You see it. You feel an emotional tie to it. But that plastic, somehow it's, you don't see the money. It's just this digital thing and you just swipe, swipe, swipe. You max it out. You ask for, you know, can you increase my limit? But all you're saying is, can you increase how much money you're going to lend me? Because I don't have money of my own.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you will never have money of your own if you don't know how to make it work, Brains. Now, you have also done some writing and you have been a contributor in some anthologies. Show us the books and tell us a little bit about your contribution.
Yes. So I've been both volume one and volume two of 31 Ways of Influence, the Tools of a Proverbs 31 Woman to Successfully Impact Nations. Wow. And here's the second anthology. And what I love about these books is it takes your life lessons, your business lessons, and then it takes the reader through understanding the story and giving them steps and tips and tools in how to apply this to their lives and impact the growth of themselves and their business. And the other thing that I love about those books is it actually has a global footprint around it. Mm. And then the last one, I was part of Experts Profile, which is conversations with innovators and influencers.
Oh, wow.
And in this book, I talk a lot about business strategy.
Okay. Well, you can never go wrong if you have a strategy. And the perfect way to have it is to purchase one of the books. Now, these are available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, they are.
All right. Well, good. Brains, don't walk, run.
Yes.
I've been there. We've all been there. We've all had something happen. You've lost a job. You've spent too much. You've had an emergency, or you've done something where you've try to call yourself a good steward or be a good friend, and you've allowed other people to use your credit and run amok. It's crazy. But there is hope. There are ways to go in and look at that. Can you offer a couple suggestions and strategies for people that are trying to rebuild their credit?
Yes. I would say the one thing is take a look at your, you can get your free credit report at freecreditreport.com and look at how much credit you have. And then how much are you spending, how much have you spent to that credit limit? And the goal is to be 30% or less. So if you have a $1,000 credit limit, you don't want to spend over $300 because that's going to impact your score. So think about that. Look at what are your minimums and start paying more than the minimums. Because so many people are like, well, I'm paying on time, but I've got this $1,000 credit card bill and I'm only paying $20 a month. Well, if you look at your credit card statement, it's going to tell you it's going to take you about 30 years to pay off that money. That doesn't make any sense. So you've already borrowed money. Now, why are you giving the lender even more? So again, understand how you're spending. You want to make sure that you understand what your rate is, what your interest rate is on your particular credit cards or installment loans, your cars, et cetera, because if you improve your credit score, you're going to have a lower interest rate. But also ensure you're paying far more than the minimum, because your balance that you owe is calculated based on your balance plus your interest. So the interest is only calculated on your outstanding balance. So if you can start, you know, hitting toward that principal payment and lowering it, you can find yourself getting out of the hole a little bit faster. But I encourage everyone to get with an advisor, get with a credit expert. If you have some derogatory things on your credit, have them help you remove it legally, not that one-time fix and then it comes back. You want to legally remove it and understand the implications in maintaining a solid credit score. As you said, April, it's a little frightening that now in getting a position, a job, that employers are looking at that credit score.
They're looking at the credit score for everything, not just a major purchase or a car purchase, you know. And getting with a professional is great, but also, Brains, you can do it yourself. You can go in, and I'll tell you a story. I'll self-disclose. I had a situation on my credit report, and it was an ugly mark. And I wrote to the company. Company did not respond. They had went out of business. Girl, I contacted my credit bureau and they took it off my credit report. Looking at it, understanding where you are in the space. You know, the credit reports are free, making sure that they're all consistent. You know, what one is going to report, others may not report, your credit score may vary. At least know where you stand in this space. So let's talk about some fun stuff, because you look like a fun kind of girl. Look at that beautiful smile. Tell me three things that LaWanna Bradford can absolutely not live without.
Oh, wait, wow. Well, I can't live without my mountains. I absolutely love the mountains. That's why I go back and forth to Arizona so much. What can I not live without? I can't live without reading. I'm a nut for knowledge. I love to read. I can't live without my family. Family is my, next to God is my number one value.
Exactly. What do you do for fun and recreation?
I love anything that has to do with the outdoors. In fact, when I was in Arizona last week, my friend had just bought a UTV, which is those crazy four-wheelers. And I went out doing donuts and had a blast doing that. But then afterwards, April, I thought, wait a minute, why was I in here? Even though I was, you know, buckled up, my helmet wasn't on my head. So that was a little insane. But I enjoy that. I enjoy the theater. I enjoy music, anything that deals with the arts, and just hanging out with family and friends.
What would you say to a 25-year-old LaWanna Bradford?
to a 25-year-old.
25-year-old self, what would you say to yourself?
Myself, 25-year-old self. I would tell that LaWanna to remember that every action that she takes, every decision that she makes is going to impact her golden year self. So to make the wise decisions that her, that when she's older, that that older LaWanna will look back on you and thank you for doing the right things for her, for take loving her enough to take care of her today. That's what I would tell my 25-year-old self.
And, you know, talking about growing into our own, I see that you are embracing your silver. I am embracing my silver up under this wig, girl. Yes. I don't have a problem with it. But it is a coming of age. It is a rite of passage. It's a deliverance. It's a freedom, you know, and we're not saying nothing to women that want to color their hair. You know, you do you. But embracing that and looking in the mirror and seeing that to yourself, what was that realization for you? What was that like?
When I made the decision a year ago to just let it grow out, I was a little nervous because I'm thinking, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? Beautiful. But it has truly been so liberating because it's me. It's who I am. And you know what's funny, April? I have received more compliments now about my hair than I did when I was coloring. I mean, men like are going crazy. I'll go into the grocery store and they're like, is that really your hair? Or did you dye it that way? So it was the best decision that I made. I mean, I love it. It's easy. And then we're talking about money. Look how much I'm saving.
You know, really? Yeah. That and a whole lot more, you know, because I've got another show that I'm going to be doing on hair coloring and the impacts on our brain with regards to that. So now, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want your legacy to be, LaWanna?
I want my legacy to be, I want to be seen as a person who cared about her family, about the world, and did whatever it took to lift up the next person. I think that's really what I want my legacy to be, that I really thought about mankind and did whatever I could with my talents, my gifts, my resources to lift up the next person.
Absolutely. It's about a hand up and a hand out. Yes. I believe that they're equal. You know, people don't want to give. They're very selfish. And for what? It's nothing but stuff. We can't take it with us. You know, how many times have we heard, I don't see a hearse attached to it. I mean, I don't see you all attached to that hearse. You can't take it with you. But you need to be smart with it. Tell my friends how they can contact you, what your current offering or promotions are at this time.
Yes, they can contact me at BradfordGroupMTG.com. That's BradfordGroupMTG.com. And one of the things that we have for free, if you are thinking about owning a home or if you have a home and you've never had a mortgage wellness checkup, just like your annual physical, you should have a mortgage wellness checkup. We offer those for free. So we'd love to just talk to you about that. And don't worry, we don't have to pull your credit. It's not about you doing a loan application, but it's taking you through a series of questions and creating a conversation so you can really understand the health of your mortgage. And also what we have actually upcoming, I'm not certain when this is airing, but if you are available on November 6th, we have our financial wellness bootcamp for women, and it's from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And you can go to bit.ly/moneyandwomen, enter the code CELEBRATE and get your ticket for only $20. And join us and you'll get so much information, everything ranging from mindset to credit to mortgages to insurance as your living benefits and so much more.
Well, we want to fill the room, brains. Okay. $20. You spend more than that on lunch. I know we did the other day. It was crazy. But thank you so much, LaWanna. You are a breath of fresh air. You had a beautiful smile. I love your voice inflection. It just really makes me feel very comfortable. And that's what I want. I want comfortable shoes to wear as I walk on this journey of finance. It's very tricky. You know, it's very bumpy, it's very rocky. And so we want to be as consistent as we can, have as much information in your toolbox as you can, Brains, with all the resources that you need right here on the edge, Brains, the place, as I tell you, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Go in, like, love, subscribe, and work with LaWanna. You know, again, have the consultation. Take a look at it. You would be surprised, pleasantly surprised, just like I was when I found out that that company went out of business. It was off my credit. So you never know how you can adjust, edit, and filter to get in the best financial place possible. Thank you so much, sister. I love you.
Thank you so much, April. Goodbye, Brains.
Bye, Brains.